My name is Garland Robinson. We're glad that you are listening at this program, and today we're going to be looking at sometimes how church members say, well, I'll come to church. I don't mind coming now and then. I don't mind coming maybe every Sunday, but don't expect me to live the Christian life every day of the week. Well, I can't imagine anyone saying anything like that, but nonetheless, people live that way. I've seen people, and perhaps you know of some too, that are Christians. They claim to be and will attend services on Sunday, but through the week, they do not live the Christian life. I cannot understand that at all. What do they think is going to happen come Judgment Day? They may be able to fool the local brethren, at least for a while. May be able to fool those who come and sit in service with them on Sundays. They may bow their head in prayer. They may sing louder than anyone. They may seem so pious. But sadly, people know how they live in the week. It's a bad influence. It's a bad example for those in the community. Because I've heard about people say, well, so-and-so's go down there to that church. Oh, you need to know how they cuss up a storm during the week. You need to know the shady deals and immodest dress and the vulgar talking they engage in. Sadly, that is the case with some. That's certainly not sanctioned by the Bible, and we certainly do not sanction that either. Those kind of people are referred to in the Bible as hypocrites. A hypocrite is a play actor, one who pretends to be one thing when in fact they are something else. But you know, you can't play the hypocrite with God. You're not able to fool God at all. He sees right through. He knows everything. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 4 that He is able to look down into the very marrow of our bones. He can see our innermost thoughts. Everything is naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You don't have to worry about me. Don't have to worry about others in this world. There's nothing we can do regarding your soul. But you do need to worry if you're living an ungodly life. You need to worry about what the Lord will do to your soul come Judgment Day. Notice many passages that tell us how to live and that we might be able to go to heaven when we die. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 we read, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Friend, we need to understand that once you name the name of Christ, and that is done not simply with the mouth, but when you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, when you repent of all of your sins, you turn your back on them, even your attitude is changed about sin and living wickedly. You confess faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and being immersed into water, the Bible says you're born again. You're raised up out of the water to walk a new life, not the same old life that you lived before you went down into the water. And there you contact the blood of the Lord that washes, cleanses us from our sins. So that's how you become a Christian. Then the Bible says, just as Paul did, you're crucified with Christ. Your old man of sin is destroyed. It's done away in baptism. And now you live a new life. If the life we live after we're baptized is the same as it was before we're baptized, then our baptism is invalid. Our repentance is invalid. Our confession is invalid. Our faith and trust in the Lord is invalid because the Bible demands a changed life. We read in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, when the Bible tells us that grace is what saves us, Ephesians 2 and verse 8, by God's great bounty, His favor, which He bestows upon us, and He provides salvation, He sees that we have sinned and brought shame and reproach against ourselves and against Him, and that if we die in that sinful state, we're lost and doomed forever in a devil's hell. But because of God's favor, because of His loving kindness, His grace, He provided a means whereby we might have forgiveness of our sins. That is available for every human being. God is not selective in providing salvation for only some and withholding it from others, but the salvation from the Lord is available. Here Titus 2:11 says, "It is appeared unto all men." Well, it tells us something. Here verse 12 says, "It teaches us." Well, what does it teach? It teaches us, the Bible, the Word of God, teaches us to deny ungodliness. Anything that would be not God-like. Everything that opposes God. And He gives an example such as worldly lusts. Whatever it is that is opposing God, contrary to God, unholy living, unrighteousness, He said the Word of God tells us and warns us against such a thing. And in its place that we are to live a sober life, a righteous life, a godly life, and we do that now. So how in the world can someone say, "Well, I go to church on Sunday, but don't expect me to live the Christian life through the week. It's just too tough. It's too hard. I'm not going to do it." Well, people have the choice to do that if they so choose, but they've chosen to go the way of hell instead of the way of heaven. Again, Paul would write by inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Colossians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, he said, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Now notice this. If ye be risen with Christ. Here is an allusion, a reference to water baptism. Because in baptism, you are buried in water, and you're raised up out of the water. Acts chapter 8, Romans chapter 6, both allude to the fact that baptism is a burial and a resurrection. So once you've been risen with Christ, you've raised up out of the watery grave of baptism, there you've contacted His blood that washes your sins away. He said you are a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So if we're risen with Christ, we've died to the old way of the world. We no longer live according to the sinful ways before we became Christians. Now that we've been raised up, the Bible says we are to seek those things which are above. The above means the heavenly, eternal things of goodness and righteousness. He said, because that's where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2 of Colossians 3 says, we are to set our affection, our feelings, our goal upon things that are above, not on things that are below, such as things in this world. Verse 3 says, for we are dead, and our life is hid with Christ in God. We are dead to wickedness. We are dead to ungodliness. We are dead to things of this world. Since we've died to the worldliness, we are to live unto righteousness. So how in the world can somebody say, "Well, I'll go to church on Sunday, but don't expect me to live it every day of the week"? Not according to this passage. We said we've died to the old way of life, and we are raised to walk a new life. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, we read, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about the destruction of the earth. The whole world will one day be found in the midst of fire and will be destroyed, be annihilated. That'll occur at the Lord's second coming. When He comes again, it won't be to establish a kingdom. It'll be to end the kingdom. It'll be to destroy this world and everything in it. All the creation, the Bible says, will melt with fervent heat. And there will be a judgment that'll take place. So he says, in view of those events, what kind of people ought we to be? How are we to live? Just as a Sunday morning Christian and that's all? Well, certainly not. We're to live as a Christian every day of our lives. Not just certain hours of the day. Not at just times when we are with certain people. But whenever we are, wherever we are to live a faithful Christian life. That's simply who we are. Because we've been called out of darkness and have translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Here in 2 Peter 3:12 again we read, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Friend, this world is going to end one day, and here the Scriptures tell us, don't live as the world, like the world, but live unto God. Look toward the heavenly things, righteousness, because we are God's children. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9 and 10, we read, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners. None of these classes, he said, none of these people who commit these kind of things shall ever inherit the kingdom of God. So how can we go to church on Sunday and pretend to be a faithful saint of God, and yet we commit sins of fornication or idolatry or adultery? We commit sins of homosexuality. We commit sins of stealing or being covetous or drunkards. All of these things, he said, if you do that, you'll never go to heaven. In its place, we read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Friend, you can't be just a Sunday morning Christian. You've got to live it every day you're alive. Regardless of where you are, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the time of day, regardless of who may be in your presence, God sees us, God knows, and we're going to have to answer to Him one day. So therefore, we've got to live a faithful Christian life, and the Bible tells us how to do that. Won't you follow the Bible? We hope that you will, as you study the Scriptures and see that these things are so, and so live that you might be pleasing in God's sight. This has been Garland Robinson.